Outback Steakhouse became really popular in the 1990s. The first one opened in Tampa, Florida in 1988, and by the year 2000, there were over 500 of them spread throughout the United States, in addition to 40 more Outback Steakhouses in other countries around the world. The company had so much promise that in the early 2000s, Warren Buffett himself became a significant investor when he bought 1.9 million shares of it. It went on to become one of the largest casual dining chains in the country and the largest steakhouse, but over the past few years, things have really taken a negative turn. See, as of 2012, Outback has been part of a larger publicly traded company called Bloomin' Brands, named after the famous appetizer, the Bloomin' Onion, over at Outback. Currently, that company includes some other popular chains, like Carrabba's Italian Grill, Bonefish Grill, and the much more expensive Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. But as you might expect, Outback Steakhouse is at the center of Bloomin' Brands, accounting for more than half of the business. Well, over the past couple of years, Bloomin' Brands has lost most of its value on the stock market. Since March of 2024, it has fallen from $2.5 billion to $600 million, which is a concerning drop. Over that time, there have been some major leadership changes, including a new CEO named Michael Spanos taking over in 2024. He would later say, "We are not pleased with our performance and acknowledge that we need to change the trajectory of the business." I do not think many people would argue with that statement, considering Bloomin' Brands is currently at their lowest sales level since they have become Bloomin' Brands, with the exception of 2020. And I should say that Outback specifically has been slowly closing locations throughout this time. Just recently, it made headlines when they abruptly closed 8 restaurants in 6 states, some of which were among the chain's first 50 locations. My point here is that Outback has been struggling. They have fallen from their previous highs both statistically and in the minds of many people. So in this video, I want to talk about the history of the brand while identifying what I believe to be 6 of the biggest reasons behind its decline. Starting off with its Australian theme. I know this reason might be a little out there, but anyone who has been to an Outback Steakhouse or has even seen one of those commercials should be aware that this is an Australian themed restaurant. To try to be extremely clear, the food there is nothing like you would see in Australia. The founders of the company initially avoided even visiting Australia because they were afraid that their experience would influence the menu. The original idea for it came from the movie Crocodile Dundee, where a man from the Australian outback travels to New York City. It was the second highest grossing movie of 1986, and the sequel was set to be released in a few months, so they figured that could be a promising theme for a restaurant. Their intention was to have American food and Australian fun. Aside from the decorations, a lot of that theme comes from the naming of the menu items. Considering it has always been envisioned as a themed restaurant, I would almost put it in the same category as other themed restaurants that became popular in the 1990s, like Rainforest Cafe or Planet Hollywood, that have also experienced major declines. And I would go so far as to argue that the theme itself has become less attractive. In the 1990s and early 2000s, Australia was making an impact on American pop culture. I know that one of my favorite shows back then was Rocco's Modern Life, right? It's about a wallaby from Australia, not to mention the Crocodile Hunter and then the Wiggles. I can continue talking about more examples, but I think this helps explain how an Australian-themed restaurant would be more attractive to an American customer back then compared to today. Next up on my list is competition, coming from so many different directions. Fast casual concepts like Chipotle started gaining traction in the 1990s and have since become a threat to almost every casual dining restaurant. I mean, some of the biggest chains in the category, like Red Lobster and TGI Fridays, have filed for bankruptcy over the past couple of years, and I recommend checking out the videos I made about them if you want to hear more about the issues facing casual dining. In fact, I would argue that the largest and most successful casual dining restaurant over the past few years has been Texas Roadhouse, a direct competitor to Outback, considering they specialize in selling steaks and even offer an appetizer that is extremely similar to the Bloomin' Onion that they call the Cactus Blossom. As of 2024, they are estimated to be twice as big in terms of sales, with Outback falling into the number 3 position behind Longhorn Steakhouse as well, both of which feature a Texas or Western theme, potentially providing further evidence that an Australian theme is not quite as attractive as it used to be. So even the customers that have been sticking with casual dining steakhouses have been gravitating toward the other options, leading me into the next reason Outback Steakhouse might be providing a poor value. Compared to those other two chains, the average customer is paying more money to eat at Outback. The average check per guest is up to $29 per person, compared to $23 at Texas Roadhouse. And I'll remind you that $23 also includes free peanuts, along with those delicious rolls with honey cinnamon butter. Most of the Outback restaurants have not been remodeled or updated in a long time, giving them an older, potentially more depressing feeling compared to those others as well. Actually, as part of their recent turnaround efforts, Bloomin' Brands has allocated $40 million toward renovating the restaurants. Another part of these turnaround efforts is cutting out limited-time promotions in favor of everyday values. They used to have all these promotions that would last like 10 to 12 weeks. They would be effective in attracting some customers, but then they would be unlikely to return once that promotion was over. In the words of their CEO, "We were featuring items in short promotional periods that created complexity for our operators, and we failed to drive value in our core menu items." I think this is reflected in the fact that comparable restaurant traffic has been declining for most of the past decade. I don't really know what else to say here. Food Republic ranked it among the worst steakhouse chains in the country. There have been various polls that have rated it poorly. Obviously, this is a subjective reason, so please tell me in the comments whether or not you feel like eating at Outback is worth the price. But a lot of people seem to share the opinion that it is simply too expensive. My next reason behind the decline is going to be complex operations, meaning in many ways, Outback has become large and inefficient. See, the four founders of the restaurant all had backgrounds in the industry and felt that it was important to establish efficiency and a decentralized structure, meaning the restaurant managers were given a lot of decision-making power. Well, in 2005, Chris Sullivan, one of those co-founders, stepped down from his CEO position that he had held for the past 14 years and then resigned from the board of directors in 2017. What I'm trying to say here is that a lot of those founders have had declining influence over the company, and at this point, I think a lot of their founding principles have been abandoned. Famously, Outback was closed during lunch hours because they were seen as being less profitable, and the additional hours were taxing on the employees. Plus, as an added bonus, it allowed them to open lower rent locations away from workplaces because they were not concerned with attracting the lunch crowd. Well, as of 2015, they have been serving lunch nationwide, likely as a defensive move to try to remain competitive. But then, I imagine many of those Outback locations were not in ideal lunch areas, so it complicated their operations with a questionable benefit. Early on, they had a rule where there was one server for every three tables. Well, that crept up to one server every six tables before it was recently brought back down. They have also added Ziosks to the tables recently so the customers could pay without the help of the server. They're also in the process of cutting 20% of their menu to simplify things. Overall, it seems like they have recognized that things have gotten a little too complicated, so they are making an effort to simplify things. Another potential reason is their involvement with other restaurants. In 1993, Outback acquired 50% control of a two-restaurant chain in Houston called Carrabba's Italian Grill, named after its co-founder, Johnny Carrabba. 2 years later, Outback bought the rights to open Carrabba's all around the country, and from that point, the company's attention has been split. The reasoning was that Outback had already expanded into so many different areas of the country that they needed a growth plan for when the market became saturated. The idea there was that they could continue expanding Carrabba's and then other restaurants like Bonefish Grill that they acquired in 2001 when it only had three locations. Over the years, they've been repeatedly criticized for investing in these other restaurants instead of focusing on Outback. I guess you could say it was similar to their menu, where they added a bunch of new stuff into the mix that complicated things and forced their attention into too many different directions. For my final reason behind the decline of Outback Steakhouse, I'm going to say controversies. To be clear here, there's not been anything too overshadowing, but a bunch of isolated issues that have collectively harmed their reputation. Just a few examples would be in 2003, Outback was accused of over-serving a woman who allegedly had way too many drinks before she drove away, hit a man that was riding a bicycle, and continued driving for 9 minutes before reporting the accident. The man was severely injured, and his family filed a lawsuit against Outback that resulted in an undisclosed settlement 2 years later. In 2009, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed a lawsuit against Outback, claiming female workers were denied favorable jobs and that prevented them from advancing to profit-sharing management positions. It ultimately ended resulted in a $19 million settlement distributed among female employees and the company agreeing to hire a new human resources executive. In 2016, there was a class action lawsuit alleging that employees were asked to work extra hours before their shift without getting paid that the company called Outback Time. That one ended in a $3 million settlement, and just other random issues that have given them negative attention on social media. Like in 2011, they accidentally served alcohol to a 4-year-old, and then in 2024, it happened again with a 12-year-old. In 2017, there was this strange conspiracy theory going around that Outback was involved in some kind of satanic cult operation? I don't know. In 2018, people got upset when a uniformed officer was asked to leave one of their restaurants for carrying his weapon. These are just brief summaries of the incidents. I recommend you look further into them before forming any sort of opinion, but I'm just trying to convey here that there has been a lot of negative attention that, along with other factors, has helped form a negative perception of Outback Steakhouse. Let me know in the comments, what do you think about Outback Steakhouse? Is it a fun dining experience with deliciously unique menu items, or is it more of an outdated gimmick that you would rather just avoid? And I'm also curious, what do you see for the future of the restaurant? They have been making some respectable efforts to turn things around, so do you think they will be effective? And finally, do you agree with my reasons behind their decline, or do you think something should be added or subtracted from the list? And any other thoughts you have about Outback Steakhouse, leave them in the comments. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Thank you for watching.